Today we're going to be continuing our series on our core values here at Village Church. So we've already covered unity and multiplication. Multiplication was last week. And what we talked about last week was how we are salt and we are light to the world. But that is something that is purpose that's given to us by God. We are the light. We don't become the light. We are the light once we come into story, God's story with him, right?
And that was so neat because we had those lights up here, and a lot of you that were here came forward and grabbed a light as a vow, like, I'm going to be the light. And it was funny, my daughter found one this week, and she's like, look, I'm the light. And it was like, I'm like, where is that? Where is that? Don't chew that, please. Anyway.
Right. So, with that, we're going to be continuing on how to be a light. So one of the practical ways of being the light to those around you is service. Mm-hmm. Okay? And at Village Church, we believe service is really just being the hands and feet of Christ to those around you. And that could be anybody, right? That could be anybody you come in contact with. That's not just your family. That's not just your church family. That could literally be anybody that you come in contact with. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So we're going to be reading today out of 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 7 through 11. It will be up on the board. If you have your Bible, though, again, I'm just going to say that one more time, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11.
It's in your bulletin, too. You'll have all the notes. So if you're someone that likes to take notes, there's fill in the blank in there for you.
Yep. And we also want to take a moment while you're looking this up. So our website, villagechurchaz.com, we have podcasts of every single one of our messages. Last week we had a little bit of a hiccup, and so we're going to be re-recording that podcast, Ashley and I, just to make sure that people can access that and follow along if you can't make it on a Sunday. So again, villagechurchaz.com, there's a tab there that says media, and we have a podcast. You can download an MP3 version of it, or you can just stream it right from your computer, okay? We would love it if you guys wanted to catch up and just follow along with where we're going. So let's read 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Man, I love this verse because it so clearly demonstrates for us what service is. And also we see that God made us to serve. God made us as people to serve. We see that all through Scripture, and we see that in this verse too. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. God made us to serve. In that, it's really interesting. In verse 7, it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And when I take that, when I read that verse, I think he's saying there's an urgency about this. Be alert. Of sober mind. The end of all things is near. Like, we're not going to be here forever, right? And there's an urgency about this truth that you're made to serve. It's not this, well, let me spend, you know, a bunch of years trying to figure it out. He's saying, no, key in right here and right now. And I think that maybe he's drawing that attention because sometimes there are wrong perspectives about service. Sometimes we have backwards thinking, and I'm going to address some of those things really quick. Number one, he says here, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I think one of the biggest issues when it comes to service is that, you know, service is dirty work. And it's hard sometimes, right? It's difficult to serve people. Sometimes we love it, but other times it's hard. And we have a tendency, I think, as human beings to grumble and complain when we have to lay our lives down for someone else. You know, it's just this terrible thing sometimes. And so if we're grumbling in our service, if we have to do something for someone else, we have the wrong perspective, the wrong heart. You know, I'm a wedding photographer, and yesterday I second shot a wedding with someone. And this woman that I shot with, she said, can you go to my car for me and get my reflector? And her car was very far. and it was very warm. And I was thinking of this point, you know, like I could be like, that's not really my job. I'm here to take pictures, not go get your water bottle and reflector, you know. But if I'm grumbling in my heart, I should be like, yes, absolutely, I can do that for you, absolutely. So that's one negative perspective that we have. Also, I think in the church, and this is, I think, one of the main things, service is something we do instead of something we are. The Bible calls us servants. Like, we are God's servants. And there's, you know, we'll address, like, sometimes the hardship of hearing that word. You know, I'm a servant. But I think especially when we have that wrong attitude, it's something we do, like a checkbox, right? Like, it's not who I am. Like, everywhere I go, because I know what Jesus has done for me, I also serve other people. And so at Village Church, we don't want service to be just something we do, right? We don't want it. We'll have opportunities as a church to serve this community, right? Like, whether we're going to be pulling weeds for people so they don't get their HOA fines, you know, whatever it is. And you can come to my house because I got one of those letters. you know, or whatever it is, you know, we are going to have things to do, but that needs to be an overflow of who we are as God's people. Does that make sense? Something we do versus something you are. I think that's a negative. And then also, sometimes with that, we use service as a crutch. Like, well, I'm only going this far, but I do a lot of good things, right? Like, with my only this far in my relationship with God, like, I'm not really letting him into every crevice, but I volunteer at VBS, so we're good. You know, like, it's this, like, counteraction to transformation. Like, I don't really want to let God into all these issues, so I'll just do things. That's legalism. Something we do, not something we are. And lastly, the hardest part with service, I think, is that, you know, we like to be served. We do, as people, naturally. We like to receive, right? It's a hard thing to come into a relationship with God and say, okay, now I'm going to give, and I might not get anything back from other people.
Yeah.
I have to give. I have to lay it down. And you know what? Some people in here, and the majority of us have been here at one point or another, where we're takers. We're not servers, right? We take. We show up and think, what can they do for me? What can this world do for me? You know, that's a hard thing to say up here as a pastor, to say, like, some of you in here are takers, you know, but that's a reality, and we have to face that as people to say, you know what, I am a taker. I definitely take more than I give, and I need to get that perspective in my head right. And so, yeah, those are some of the negative things or the wrong backwards thinking that we have about service.
Right. Yeah, and we can see even from God's example, if we get a little indignant in this point, like, mm-hmm. boy, like, I don't know if I have to be a servant, do I? Like, really? Like, but Jesus himself, right? If we look at Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus came to serve, not to be served, right? This is Jesus Christ. He didn't have to choose that, guys. He didn't have to. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. This is the Messiah of all mankind. Like, this is the right hand of God. This is God incarnate. This is God, right? Jesus came to serve, not to be served. He could have come with a sword. He told us what to do. But that's not how he did, right? Because our God is a servant. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to think that sometimes. Because I think we get scared of God sometimes too. And we think that he is this big God wagging his finger at us, you better do this or else. But like, he's there to push us through. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's that amazing gift, God in us. He empowers us. That's him serving us every moment of every day through the Holy Spirit. And guys, that is true love. That is the definition of real true love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Verse 8, I want to read that real quick. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. That has to be the driving force behind our service, is that love. This radical love that we have, but that's also the driving force behind multiplication. That's also the driving force behind unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the driving force behind being an ambassador for Christ, the driving force behind telling your story so that others can come into relationship with him. That is the driving force behind Village Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's our love. They'll know we are Christians by our
love,
right? So everything we do, each of these core values that we have as a church has to be driven 100% by love. So how do we love like that? Because it's not easy, right? we've all been there too. Like, how am I supposed to love this person right now? Like, that is not I'm not capable of this in this time in my life, right? But John 10:10 tells us abundant life comes through surrender to Christ. Life here and now and life eternal. So it's surrender. It's putting ourselves aside and saying, you know what? I'm going to do this for them in spite of me. And that is our vision statement, right? That we want to be ambassadors for Christ to those around us. That's our unity statement, that we're here for the sake of the person next to us. So if we can all get into that mindset, right? We've talked about this before, but if we're all in that mindset, that each of you even here today, if you're here for the sake of the person next to you and the person next to you is here for the sake of you, that's unity. Mm-hmm. That's love. That's service. That's multiplication even. Because even the people that aren't here yearn for a place to be here. They want to be wanted. They want to be loved. Mm-hmm. Right? So, it's surrendering to ourselves. It's surrendering our own needs, handing those over for the sake of what God is calling us to, which is just love. Just love. It's as simple and as profound as that. So, we can ask the question here, if God made us to serve, then how does God empower us to serve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that whole God empowering idea we see in this verse, that it's God that does it, right? And that is so, so important, because without God's presence in our service, I feel like it's just putting a Band-Aid on a bigger issue of brokenness, right? Like, even humanitarian efforts are good efforts, absolutely. But, you know, if you're going to feed the hungry, that's great, but you're just providing them a meal. But if you go into that, we're called to do that. The Bible says to do that, but we have to go with God's presence. When we bring God's presence to serve people in that way, then people get to interact with Jesus. And when they interact with Jesus, you give them more than the meal, right? You give them an eternal change, right? If they accept Jesus as their Savior, they're going. They're going to be with Jesus Christ in heaven. And that also has repercussions in their life here and now. That's an incredible thing. And so this whole God's presence going with us is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential here at Village Church and in general as Christians. And so we need God to empower us. So how does God empower us to serve? And we see here that number one in verse 10, he says, God has given you a gift to be used for others. God has given you specifically a gift to be used for others. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let me point out here, this isn't God wants to give you a gift. You know, God hopes that you'll receive a gift. It says he has given it to you. And what we think that means is that God has put a specific gift in each person to serve his kingdom, to do that and to do so as a church. You know, we call these spiritual gifts that God has done. You know, one person might teach, one person might, you know, have more faith, and Cody will bring that down a little more, but there's a spiritual gift that God has given you specifically. And I want you to hear that, because some of you maybe here today are thinking, I think he skipped me. He skipped me. You know, he gave this person a gift, but he clearly didn't give me one, because what is it, you know? And so we want to be people in our church, we want to know what our spiritual gifts are, because that's how God wants to use you. And so there's a really simple way to do that. We found this great online test. It's called giftstest.com. You can write that down. We'll post it on Facebook as well. Giftstest.com. Okay, and you go on there, you're just going to type in your information. It'll ask you what denomination, just put non-denominational in when you do it. And then it will, at the end of this, asking you questions about yourself, it'll give you like a list. Like, here you go. This is what we think, you know, based on this test, what you're gifted at. And we hope you'll email that to us at info@villagechurchaz.com, okay? We want to know, because guess what? God wants to use you, and we want to know, who is God bringing? It's really amazing, and this is wild, okay? We come out here and think, okay, God, like, with just us, you know, and the few people that came from California, and say, okay, we're going to plant a church. But we know there's already 40 million kids, and so we need somebody, you know, gifted at that. And then someone comes and says, you know, I would love to work with the kids, and I love your church. I want to own your vision, and I want to work with the kids, and I don't even need a break. We tried giving Adam and Sandy a break, and they were like, why? Why would we ever? You know, they just didn't understand that. So if you see them, just give them a big hug. They're over there right now.
It's an amazing thing.
It's amazing, right? Like, God has brought people here. You know, last week we said we're going to be people. This church will multiply disciples and churches. And maybe some of you here in this room right now will be part of another church plant in just a few years. Maybe, yeah. Who knows what that's going to look like?
Yeah.
You know, but we know that God is bringing that here because that's his vision. That's his vision. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. And so we want you to find out what your spiritual gifts are. So please take that test and let us know what it is.
Yeah. So with those spiritual gifts, there's personal and there's corporate mm-hmm. sides to all of our gifts that we have, okay? And I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. This isn't going to be up on the board. So if you want to follow along again, that's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. I'm going to read that right now. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Mm. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So if we start at the personal side of the giftings that the Spirit gives us, we each have specific giftings. And if you don't know those, again, like, you can take this test that we just talked about, and that'll kind of help you flesh out maybe what your natural spiritual giftings are. That doesn't necessarily mean that mm-hmm. there's an area that's like for faith or something. Faith is kind of something we all could use, obviously, from time again, but it's not like it's going to say children's ministry is your specifically. I wish it would. Honestly, it'd be a lot easier for us as pastors. Like, oh, you're gifted in children's
all
ministry.
All of you. Well, then, all well, of then, you yeah. are called to yeah, the children's
exactly.
ministry.
Yeah. But I have a firm belief, and I only have this from personal experience and experience in others, but mm-hmm. I have a firm belief that we are given our spiritual gifts to counteract our personality weaknesses. I'm an introvert by nature, and so I have a lot of anxiety by nature. I'm an overthinker, right? And that'll eat me alive sometimes, and I'll think, like, horrible thoughts about myself, you know, like, all those things, right? And it'll eat away at me, right, if I don't stop it. But my number one spiritual gift is faith. Does that make any sense? Right? On paper, it's like, yeah, right? It does now, but on paper, I was like, faith? Like, are you kidding me? Like, God, you know my head. You know what goes on in there, right? But that's the choice, mm-hmm. right? We have a choice every moment of every day to operate in who God wants us to be and who he's empowered us to be, or yeah. to continue operating in our flesh, in our brokenness. My brokenness is anxiety, guys. That's brokenness. The stress that comes with that, the unbelief in myself, and really unbelief in myself looks like unbelief in God. Mm-hmm. But God empowers me with the gift of faith as my number one gift to counteract that. So I have a choice. Am I going to stress out about the possibility of the future and what's going to come? Or am I going to just trust God and operate in that faith that he's given me, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome how that works? Yeah. When I figured that out, I was like, wow, that makes so much more sense. Mm-hmm. Like we don't. He doesn't just give us these gifts for the heck of it, right? It's because he loves us. And he wants us to grow, and he believes in us so much that he's like, now, here, you struggle with this area, then here, I'm going to give you an extra measure of the thing that's going to counteract that specifically and perfectly, mm-hmm. right? It's an amazing thing. So again, that's why it's so great if you guys could take that test for yourself and then look at yourself and go, wow, like, this is how God's empowered me. That's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the personal side of it, right? But then we have the corporate side, okay? And what's really awesome about that is, in the verse that we just read, right, it says there's different kinds of gifts, but the same God at work, right? So there's a message of wisdom, to another message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. another faith by the same Spirit, right? Every gift we have is given to us in equal measure by the same Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So the same Spirit that operated in Peter, the same Spirit that operated in Paul, in Jesus himself, is in us. Yeah. Ashley and I don't have an extra measure of the Holy Spirit in us to be pastors. We don't. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us, just as each of you has the whole fullness of the Holy Spirit in you. It just takes us operating in it, right? Mm-hmm. Just takes us choosing that day by day. And guys, think, if our church operated in that completely and fully, imagine the difference that we could make. Imagine if we could pair with other churches that were operating in the same way. And imagine the difference that that could make. Imagine if every church in the world had the same goal and the same plan. Mm-hmm. To operate in those giftings of the Spirit. Because ultimately, right, Scripture says we're a body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we want you to know what gifts you have received. Raise your hand if you already know what your spiritual gifts are.
We got some work
There's
to
like
do.
There's like three
That's
of
good.
You in
That's
here,
right.
okay? So the it's rest exciting. Of you need to go figure that out. You know, you need yep. to go figure out what is it that God has specifically gifted me. And I want to say it's specific. Okay, it's not just a general, like, well, you know, everyone has that. You know, some people have gifts of service. My husband has a gift of service. Now, we all are called to be servants, right? We're not copping out like, well, he has service, so Matt gets to do it all, you know? Like, we all have to, but Matt has an extra measure of that. Like, I am going to show, like, he has that heart for service, you know? And he does, he shows up here, he works hard, setting up, and, you know, it's amazing. But each one of us, you know, is not exempt from serving. Okay, so with that said, the corporate side of that is answering this question, then how can you begin to use that spiritual gift to serve through Village Church? And notice that language, not to serve Village Church, but to serve through Village Church, because we are a body. We're absolutely a body, and this is not like, oh, I just go off and I serve on my own, which you should do on a daily basis. You know, if you want to get the grocery cart for the, you know, old lady at the grocery store, you should do that, absolutely. But it's also, how can we together be Jesus Christ to our community and the world around us, right? And so how can you begin using your gifts to serve through Village Church? And I want to point out again, Cody said it already, but that doesn't mean like a department, okay? That doesn't... I'm dying. That doesn't mean like just a department like, I'm called to children's ministry. Let me tell you something. One of my number one gifts is teaching. That's one of my number one gifts. I know that now. I've been doing it a long time and I love it and I feel comfortable in that gift. But in the very beginning of my walk with God, when that came about and that was apparent, I'm like, what? I'm never getting in front of people. Right? There was some development that had to happen in my life. And we want to be here as pastors, as your church, we want to be here to say, okay, how can we help develop you in that? And that will be developed by growing in Christ and, you know, being a part of a life group where you're fleshing that out with other people. That's where growth happens. We want to be here for you to do that. Yeah. So we don't want you to say like, oh, teaching, that means I have to get up next week. I got to do it. You know, there's development that happens. In the very beginning of ministry for me, and ministry for me was not a job until, you know, the last few years. It was before that. I was a part of a church. I was absolutely just part of a church. And you know what I did? I stacked chairs every Sunday for a very long time. Much like this, right? Like, that's what Ashley Jennings was doing, you know, stacking chairs. That's what I did. Well, meanwhile, I have these gifts that God has given me. And so it starts somewhere, but that developed a heart in me, right? To do what I'm doing for the Lord. Like, I'm here and I stack a chair, and that's what Jesus has provided for me to do. And so I'm going to use my gift there. Or if it's the children's ministry, or if it's, you know, part of an outreach or whatever it is, we have to show up and say, okay, use me. Yeah. And so it starts with this vow that we make to God. Remember last week we made vows. I love that verse. It says, make vows to the Lord and fulfill them. Make promises to God and then do what you said, basically. And it starts with a vow. Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be used. That's how I got myself into this church planting mess, right? Like, use me. What? Like, Arizona, you know, but Red Rock, which I love it. I'm so glad. That, you know, but that's how you get yourself into a miracle mess, right? You start making vows like, use me, take me, you know, we sing these songs like, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And then he's like, okay, you know, I didn't mean it. That was just a pretty song I sang on Sunday, you know. But God will do something amazing in your life, and it starts with a vow.
Right. Because once we make that vow, God entrusts us with a job for others, right? And he already has that job waiting. Like, he's gifted us, he's called us to many things. So it takes a response from us to say, okay, I'm ready, right? Because he, again, God entrusts us with a job for others. Mm-hmm. He calls us in this passage faithful stewards of grace in various forms. There is so much packed into that one sentence. But it's, we want to break that down a little bit between the grace and the stewardship sides of that. So what is God's grace? I'll tell you, for me, like, it's taken me a long time to get a grip on what God's grace really looks like in my life, too. It can be an easy concept, but for me to have it click in my head, if I have to teach on it or something, it takes me a second for me to go, okay, I can do that now. Like, I have to realign the way my brain works because it just doesn't make sense. Because grace is that free outpouring of anything and everything good that God has in our lives, right? Stuff that we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, right? But it's for our good. Anything and everything that God does for us, which is for our betterment, which is everything God does for us, right? He doesn't do anything for us just to scold us or to push us aside or to make us feel bad about ourselves or anything. Everything he does is for our betterment. And that's encouraging, right? We've talked about it before, too, with conviction, right? Conviction is not God wagging his finger at us. Conviction is his incredible belief in us that he says, no, this is what I have for you. Like, just try again. Do better. It's okay. This is what you can do. I believe in you, and I will empower you to do this. Just keep at it, right? That's what conviction needs to be. That's how we need to look at it. It's grace, right? Mm-hmm. So that grace that he gives us has to merit something from us, right? Mm. It's this free outpouring. Jesus is an act of grace. Mm. The ultimate act of grace for us. The laying down of his life for our sake, for our betterment. Who are we? We didn't deserve that, right? That merits a response in every area of our lives. And that response, again, in this area for sure is surrender. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that verse says we are stewards. We are the stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so Cody explained grace. And so what does it mean to steward, right? That word steward is an interesting word. That's the person in charge, right? The steward is the one that sort of takes care of the household and the finances, whatever. In the old times, they had stewards over their land, you know, and it was like, you're going to be the one, right? The ambassador that's going to take care of my stuff. You're going to bring this. You're going to order it out. You're going to make sure it's done well. And he's saying here, not I come down from heaven in a cloud to each person individually, and that's how my grace is stewarded. No, he's saying you are the faithful steward of God's grace to others. That's amazing. And like, whoa, like it's I'm the one that brings God's grace. In that 1 Corinthians verse we read a little bit ago about the gifts, he says, it's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That word manifestation. It's saying that is God's presence manifesting, that we see God's presence here when you use your gift, right? That's what he's saying. And that's really what the steward of grace that we are called to be means, that the Holy Spirit is manifesting his presence in our lives in a way that people can see, that they look at us and they see that is God. And what does it mean? If grace to us means, you know, undeserved goodness and love, then what does that mean for us to other people? Undeserved goodness and love, that presence of God in us to other people. And that is a difficult thing if we're just honest, right? Yeah. Difficult thing to allow, because just like we talked about in the beginning, you know, we like to be takers. We like to receive. Like, if I'm going to be nice to you, I hope you'll be nice back. If I'm nice to you and you're not nice back, well, then forget it. You know, like, then I'm not being nice ever again. And that's just like a shallow way of explaining that. So it's a really interesting thing, too. He says, a steward of God's grace in various forms. And I love that, because doesn't God love us all just perfectly and differently? at the same time. Like, I need things from my Creator that are different than what you need, right? The specific things. And God does that. He knows each one of us, the hairs on our head. He provides what we need, not just tangibly, but just even in our souls, the healing that we need. He loves us all to fullness, but also differently and individually and specifically. And so he uses us to do that. So there are various ways, right, that we're supposed to be stewards of God's grace to people. Maybe that's, you know, maybe that's providing financially for someone when they're in need. Maybe that is bringing a meal to somebody. Maybe that's just loving the person that is rude to you, right? Loving your enemy. Maybe it's just that person in your life that just continues to bring storms into your life, and you say, I'm a steward of God's grace to you. And as we're thinking, there's people coming up in your mind like, I'm a steward of God's grace to this person specifically. These people, my children, right? My husband, the co-workers around me, the family around me, my friends, like I'm the one that brings God's grace to them. And so it's a crazy thing, guys. We're stewards of that. We're the ones in charge of that. So that's why it takes surrender. That's why it has to say, Lord, use me, because I can't do that without God's presence empowering me, right? Like I can't, there's no way. I can get like a little bit nice to the grocery clerk and then I get, you know, someone cuts me off and it's, you know, I've told you, it's over for me. It's road rage, which Cody drives with me a lot. And always defensive.
It's terrifying,
you know?
Otherwise.
Yeah. And I'm like always defensive, like, you know what? And he's like, I did not say anything. Like, I'm not judging you at all. Like, I'm like, it's just me. It's the Holy Spirit.
I'm just, from now on, I'm just saying, like, I'll just drive. It's okay. You relax,
the other day,
Ashley.
He's like, do you want me to drive?
It's fine.
I'm like, all right.
It's fine. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, as we're talking about this, I'm counting on the Holy Spirit to do his job, which is to bring people to mind that you need to be a steward of God's grace to in your life. And I know there's somebody, and that might look like a daunting task right now for you, but that's what we're called to do. Jesus did that for us, right? That's what grace is. It's undeserved. But there's people in our lives that have ruined their lives. They've ruined friendships. They've ruined relationships. They've ruined things. Some people might have hardened their hearts toward other people because they don't know how to be anymore. They've been hurt so many times, maybe that all they know how to do is lash out, right? I know each of us has people like that in our lives. So right now, I want to pray. I want to pray about that, and I want to pray over that specifically. So let's pray real quick. Holy Spirit, thank you for doing your job. And thank you for empowering us to be stewards of your grace. That's a very heavy thing. Who are we? But you believe in us enough to show people your love, to show people your forgiveness and your goodness, grace. So God, those people that are being brought up in our minds, God, if it's too much for us to approach them, God, I pray they'd approach us. I pray that this week, maybe even today, you would bring about a situation that you need us to show your grace through. Give us the boldness to be who you need us to be, as hard as it may be. God, I pray that we could put aside the what ifs. What ifs that can ruin us, and just operate in the grace that you've given us already. Mm-hmm. We thank you for that. We thank you that you believe in us enough, that you need to use us, that you want to use us for your kingdom. We love you. We praise in your name. Amen.
Amen. So after, you know, if God is empowering us and he's giving us a gift, his word says, and then he says, and then I give you the job. I set all of it up, right? I give you the gift, then I give you the area. And then at the end of this, he says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And then it says, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And so God empowers us to serve by giving us the strength to serve others. He does that for us. Isn't this amazing? Like, he does it all. He gives us the gift. He gives us a job, and he's like, and I'll give you the strength to do it. right? It's none of it is about you having to put forth anything except just God use me, right? And then he does. He does it. And this is really important, guys, because service takes strength. If you are a parent, you know that service takes strength. Because ultimately, I have to lay my life down every day for those kids, right? When I'm frustrated or when whatever it is, I was thinking yesterday, I'm like getting them juice, and then they're like, "We're hungry." Okay, we're getting them this, and then in the middle of it, I'm like typing up my sermon notes, you know, like can't hear the still small voice, you know, with you griping about juice, you know, like, but that's what it's like as parents, right? Like I put down my life, yeah. what works for me for the sake of you, and that takes strength. And what I love about this verse is he says, it takes God's strength to do it. Not your own strength, but God's strength. And I'm encouraged by that. When it says, you know, God will give you the strength, you should do so with the strength that God provides. I think God's strength never fails, right? It never fails. Like it's like a constant energy flow of strength to me. That's just so encouraging. Like, oh, it's not about me. If I tap out, you know, then it's like tag in God. And he's like, all right, I got it. Like I pick it right up. And it's a constant flow and access to strength. And that's important because that understanding that gives us confidence to serve. That's what gives us like, oh, I can do this. Right? Do you think like, this is going to sound so negative, but do you think like every Sunday at 6 a.m., I'm just like, yes, I love getting up at 6 a.m. and setting up walls and chairs, right? Like in my human brokenness, no. In my human strength, you know, I'm tired. But the confidence and joy in serving God comes through that strength that he's given me. Right? It's not in anything me. I'm not just a peppy person, right? It's God has done that work in us. That's where the joy comes from. So that's not a burden when the alarm goes off. It is a, oh, God's going to do something today. He's going to use me today. I know it. He's going to do it. And I'm confident and excited to be used by him. Without him, it is. I mean, it would get old, right? It would get old pretty fast doing that. We want to be sustained here at our church when we serve. Like it's, we're not like, oh, it's not like, you know, going to work on Monday idea with service. Like we want to be excited and joyful for what God is doing and confident in what he's doing.
Yeah. And in order to really be confident in that, the power that he gives us to do what we need to do, what does Jesus say? All it takes is faith as small as a grain of mustard. It's mustard seed, right? Mm-hmm. Can move mountains, right? And I think we've all been like, okay, well, I've never seen that happen. So I don't really know if I can relate to that, right? But think about this. We've all heard stories in the news of, say, there's a car accident and the car is pinning a mom's kid. And that mom lifts the car on her own because there's no room for doubt in that moment, right? She's not going, well, I hope I can do this. Like, she's just, get that car off my kid. Mm. And it happens. And it's not just a rare thing. Like, that's happened a lot. Mm-hmm. I know someone who was in a car accident, and they were in such shock, they rolled their car into a ditch. They rolled their car back up onto the road and kept driving and didn't realize what happened until they got home.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't know how to explain that myself. Like, they told me, and I was like, oh, okay.
No,
like,
you didn't.
You know, like, yeah. What does it mean,
yeah,
right?
It's crazy.
But that's what's in us, guys. Mm-hmm. That's the power of just getting rid of every single shred of doubt. Faith as small as a mustard seed, right? And I often think, like, isn't this faith as small as a mustard seed? I mean, come on, I believe right now. Okay, I'm going to believe. Like, you know, like, how do you do that, right? But it's really just believing not in me. It's not in me. It's what God's already given me, right? It's God. God has already empowered me to be everything he needs me to be, moment by moment. And sometimes each moment looks different, right? That's what's so amazing about it. And all we have to do is operate in that. Put ourselves aside, surrender to that. That surrender, giving up of ourselves, isn't just because, like, you know, God wants us to and it's a good thing or whatever. It's for our own good, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be that. I want to be lifting cars over my head, mm-hmm, right? I want that every day. I want to see that in me. I want to see amazing things happen, mm-hmm, because I'm just letting God be God through me, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not for my glory, but it's for his glory alone, right? So we want to ask that question of you, guys, like, how well are you doing that today? How well are you allowing God to work through you, in and through you? How much do you believe in the God that's in you? Not in yourself, because I don't believe in myself. I believe in the God in me, though, yeah, to empower me to be who he needs me to be. So we want to just ask that question. Even close your eyes if you need to. Are you giving God the chance to work through you? Are you serving in God's strength or in your own? Mm-hmm. Ask that question of yourself.
At the end of this, he ends this section by saying, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Yeah. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And I love he ends with that because it points out that service is not about us getting glory. It's not about us thinking we're good people or people thinking, you know, that we're super good or super, you know, whatever, special. It's about him. And when we serve, we let God empower us, and we take these verses and say, okay, this is, all right, I'm showing up for this. I'm showing up for surrender, basically. Then people see Jesus. And that's everything here. That is everything here at Village Church, that people, when we go out of these walls, right, this is just like the fuel up time, right? This is not the pinnacle of the week. It's the beginning, right? Like, then I go up, I go out. And then people see Jesus. And because of me, Ashley Jennings, not on Sunday mornings explaining this, but in how I drive, who I talk to, how I teach photography to middle schoolers, whatever it is, that they will see Jesus. And not just because I say, hey, Jesus, but in the way that I love people, in the way that I serve, the way I allow God to work through me. And let me tell you, we said it last week, if you do that, you will lead people to Jesus. You personally will. And that is important to us here, that it's not just the pastors up here, you know, like, you know, raking in salvations, right? But that everyone is replicating themselves. Everyone is saying, you know what? God's done a work in me, and I'm going to take that out, and I'm going to show the world so that other people can also have that work done and show other people. Because that is what it looks like, right? To be a church that impacts, really, truly impacts. So with that said, our job is to get out of the way. And that, I think, takes an intentional moment to say, I'm getting out of the way. Like, I'm going to do that. And so we're going to go into a response time. You know, at our church, we like to take, you know, just a few minutes after the sermon, specifically not to nap or, you know, hope to get out, but specifically to say, okay, I'm responding to what you've told me today. I'm responding to that kind of move of the Spirit in me, right? That move of like, I know what you're saying. You're telling me I've been serving in my own strength, and no wonder I'm tired. And today I'm not doing that. Or you've been telling me, you know, I have a job for you. You're a steward of grace in various forms, and I have not been a steward of grace. I've been a steward of some other things, but not grace. Or you're telling me you have a gift for me, specifically gifted me. And here I thought I wasn't worth much. Here I thought I wasn't super useful, but you have something for me. So I'm going to have you just close your eyes, bow your heads. I'm going to give you a minute. Just, you know, I usually ask questions and have people raise their hands, but I think you know today, like, what God is speaking to you. And so I'm going to just give you a moment to make a vow to the Lord, maybe to say a prayer, to hear from God, to say, you know what? One of those points, right? Like, I want to be a steward of grace. I'm accepting the job offer. Or I am accepting that you've given me a gift and I'm going to make a vow to serve. Or I'm no longer going to serve in my own strength, but in yours. So I'm just going to give you, you know, 10, 15 seconds, maybe 30 seconds to just meet with God. And then we're going to go into a time of worship.